Back in the early 2000s, a leadership expert named Simon Sinek made a discovery. He discovered that inspired organizations and inspired leaders all think and communicate in the same way. He says that they start with why. Why meaning, why do you do what you do? What is your cause? What is your purpose? What is your belief that fuels and gives you energy and inspires what you are doing? And so the most successful leaders, organizations, all start with why. They know why they do what they do. And here's an example he gives in his widely viewed TED Talk. He talks about a man named Samuel Pyrmont Langley. Now, if you haven't heard of his name, it's no surprise. I hadn't heard of it either. Turns out Samuel Pyrmont Langley in the early 1900s was at the forefront of this quest to achieve powered man flight. He was a university professor. The War Department had given him $50,000, that's a lot of money back then, to create and invent a flying machine. And he hired the best minds, and the New York Times followed him everywhere. Well, we have not ever heard of Samuel Pyrmont Langley because he didn't do what he set out to do. Instead, we've heard of Orville and Wilbur Wright. In Dayton, Ohio, the New York Times had never heard of them. They had very little money. They funded their endeavor to achieve powered man flight. It was funded by their bicycle shop. And yet they were so inspired by their belief. Simon Sinek says they believed that if they could achieve this, a powered man flight, create a flying machine, it would change the course of the world. And so they spent their energy and hired people who believed what they believed. And it said that they had to bring, for every day out, they had to bring 5 sets of spare parts because that's how many times they would crash before dinner. And so in 1903, they did it. They achieved powered man flight. And further proof that Samuel Pyrmont Langley was only in it for the money and the fame, as soon as the Wright brothers achieved what they had tried to achieve, Samuel Pyrmont Langley quit. And so he says that knowing why you're doing what you're doing and being able to communicate that makes all the difference in the world. It's also worth noting on this Martin Luther King Jr. weekend that he mentions Martin Luther King Jr. as someone who knew his why and spoke it loudly and often. Martin Luther King Jr. was able to inspire enough people. 250,000 people showed up in the Washington Mall in 1963 in the summer without a single invitation being sent. There was no website to check the date, and yet somehow all of these people, 25% of whom were white, came to hear Dr. King speak. It's because he spoke of what he believed. He spoke his why. And Dr. King believed that there are two types of laws in this universe. There are laws of human beings, and there are laws created by a higher authority. And until human beings embody those laws created by the higher authority, there will never be justice in the world. Dr. King believed that a society of individuals could be transformed by love into what he calls a beloved community. A community where there is no more hate, no racism, no poverty, no injustice, but that everyone is taken care of. Everyone has what they need. A beloved community is one transformed by the power of love. And he believed that it was possible, and he spoke of that dream. Well, it's good news on this weekend as we remember Dr. King that our God knows a thing or two about transformation. Today we talk about the story of Jesus transforming water into wine. It may be a familiar story to many of you. Jesus and his disciples, his friends, are at a wedding along with Jesus's mother. A wedding back then was not just a one day or a few hour affair. It was a 7-day event at the groom's house. And so it was the host's groom's responsibility and his family, the people hosting, to provide the wine for all of that time, for 7 days. And people, community members, were also responsible for bringing gifts and wine as well. And so there is great shame potentially upon this family, the hosts, when they run out of wine at a wedding. This is a culture based in honor and shame, and the shame of not being able to provide hospitality, and the shame of not having enough friends and community support to bring the wine to your event. Both of those were humiliating potentially for the hosts. And so Jesus uses the power of God and the power of miracle to transform stone water jars, 120 to 180 gallons, it says, filled with water that is then transformed into wine. So much wine. It's a sign of abundance and grace and generosity. And Jesus saves the day and saves the party. It's also worth mentioning that this vision of a flowing wine, an abundance of wine, in the Old Testament, which would have been what we call the Old Testament, was their scripture of the day. That was a vision, this abundance flowing of wine was a vision of God's final and ultimate restoration of the world. It was the vision of, we might say, heaven come to earth. And so Jesus not only saves the day and saves the party, but he gives everyone there a glimpse of what heaven might be like, a bit of heaven on earth. And so as Jesus changes water into wine, we see a God who transforms ordinary things of this world into beautiful things, into the extraordinary. Now for my children's sermon this weekend, I'm talking about something called just add water. It was a phrase that was in my mind this week as I was thinking of this sermon, thinking, just add water. What I'm going to show the kids is a pack of the powder from a package of instant pudding. Doesn't look very appetizing, just kind of a lump of powder. But if we just add water and we shake it up, it makes pudding a delicious dessert that we all know and love. Just add water. The water transforms the pudding. In our lives, we are just add water people. Our ordinary lives are transformed by the waters of baptism so that we become extraordinary. We become filled with God's Spirit so that we are new people given new life and a new charge and responsibility in our lives to live for the sake of others, to embody God's love on earth. We are just add water type of people. And our lives then become a sign that points others to God. In the Gospel of John, this miracle of the wedding at Cana, the water to wine, is called the first sign. There are seven signs in the Gospel of John. And the word the author uses is an interesting one, semion in Greek, which is where we get the word for semaphore. A semaphore is something that points trains in the right direction. And so this miracle, this sign of water turned to wine, along with all the other signs, are arrows that point to God. It's not about the wine and the water itself, although it did save the day of the party, but it's also pointing to something bigger. And Jesus' whole life was about pointing to God or revealing God in the flesh. It's like kind of like a parking attendant when they've got the vest and the torch and they change you this direction. Jesus is saying, this is what God's like, right this way. There's where God is. I'm where God is, Jesus says. His life is about pointing to God. And so our lives are the same. As baptized people, people who just add water, our lives are about pointing the way to God, embodying the love that God has for God's people, embodying that and carrying it out into the world. And so our second scripture for today is from 1 Corinthians. Now there was a church in the city, the ancient city of Corinth. And Paul was an apostle who visited and started this church, this Christian church in the city of Corinth. And then he would be a missionary, he would start it, and then he would move on. Well, he got word that this community was quarreling and they had conflict and they were not embodying the Spirit of Christ. And so he writes this letter, 1 Corinthians, that's in our Bible, and an excerpt from it is our scripture reading for today. And in this scripture reading, Paul says, you, each of you, has been given the manifestation of the Spirit for the good of all. In other words, you have the Holy Spirit, therefore you all are united in that Spirit and you are transformed into beloved community. The community that God desires is one full where hate and division and poverty and injustice are all erased. And so Paul is encouraging that church in Corinth to embody this role of beloved community and encouraging them, each one of you has the Spirit, and the Spirit is given not for yourself, but for the good of all. And so we come back to the question of why. Why are we here? Why am I preaching? Why do we gather? Why do we bother posting this to YouTube? And to me, I think it is about this vision of transformation. As people are individuals, we are united by the Spirit. We are united by love and transformed into something bigger than ourselves. We are transformed into beloved community. We are just add water people. And each of us given the manifestation of God's Spirit, God's love, living inside of us that we can help transform the world. We can spread the good news. We can invite others to be beloved community as well. Enjoy this Martin Luther King weekend and remember that love has the ultimate power to transform. Thanks be to God. Amen.